today's gospel, we get a glimpse into the hidden life of Jesus Christ, of those years before his public ministry, when he was the son of Mary and Joseph. And we know that his family was a very, very faithful Jewish family. And in Deuteronomy and the book of Exodus, we hear where there's three feasts in Jerusalem that faithful Jews would come to each year. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem with Jesus three times a year. They're the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Passover, more commonly known as, and the Feast of Booths, and the Feast of Weeks. So probably three times a year, they journeyed with their family and their friends from Nazareth to Jerusalem, and then went back home after the feast. And the Feast of Passover, or Unleavened Bread, was the highlight of the Jewish feasts. So people would come from all over neighboring countries because they believed you should come at least once in your lifetime. But it would have been lots and lots of people everywhere. And I'm sure while they were caravanning back home and they realized Jesus wasn't in their midst, as we know, they had great anxiety. And anyone here who is a parent has probably experienced that anxiety when you've taken your small kids to the store and they venture off on their own, right? And you have fear and you're anxious until you find them again. And the children have anxiety too. I know I was lost in Kmart many, many years ago and thought I was going to live there the rest of my life. But my parents, thank God, found me after they announced my name over the loudspeaker. So I found my way home. But there's a lot of anxiety. It can be a lot of anxiety. And when they found Jesus, they were delighted, weren't they? She didn't yell at him, "Shame on you. Why didn't you listen to us?" And it's kind of a lesson for us. It's a lesson of saying, go to the Lord first. And that's what Mary did. She went to the Lord first with her anxiousness and her fears and her just anxiety of the situation. And she said, "We were worried about you." And where was Jesus? He said he was in his father's house. And I think probably when Mary and Joseph finally went to the temple looking for Jesus in Jerusalem after they looked everywhere else and saw him among the scribes and the priests who were in awe and wonder over his wisdom and knowledge, I'm sure they were in awe and wonder as well. And that's when they realized he's a gift in our lives. He's not going to be with us forever. It was part of their letting go, of knowing that their son Jesus, the Messiah, was here for a greater mission. And I'm sure it was hard because they realized his purpose and his mission was greater, greater than they could even imagine. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we know that the first 30 years he was at home with Mary and Joseph. And there's a sacredness, I think, in keeping that a mystery for us. Because I imagine for the most part his life was very mundane and routine. He went to school to learn and learn scripture. He had chores and duties around the house. He probably fetched water from the well for his mother Mary. He played with his cousins, and he learned the carpentry trade from his father and worked alongside his father, and they would cart the goods to sell. His life was very ordinary like ours. And what I think the Lord is trying to tell us in today's scripture is that the Christian life and holiness start in our daily life. It doesn't start at some magical age, but it starts and is grounded in our homes with our families. That's where we learn our prayers. That's when we learn what is right from wrong. That is where we learn the dignity of work and the dignity of life. And that's what he's trying to tell us through today's gospel. His first 30 years were with his family. And that's where the Christian life starts. And that's where it should grow within us when we go forth. When we go forth from our homes, when our parents let go of us as we go to college or learn a career and start our own lives. That's where it starts. And their lives were really no different than ours. They had struggles, they had fears, they had difficulties in life. And we can remember some of them because where did the nativity happen? If you remember, Joseph was a carpenter, and they knew from the angel Gabriel that Mary was going to give birth to the Messiah, Emmanuel, God amongst us. And so being a carpenter, I imagine he created and built a magnificent crib and furniture for the newborn Jesus. But what were they called? They were called to go to Bethlehem. And Mary gave birth in a cave among animals. And he laid in a trough, which was the manger, to feed cattle. I'm sure her heart was a little disappointed because they had the beautiful furniture back at home. But Mary always said, "Yes, be it done unto me according to your will." And she pondered this in her heart. Another opportunity or challenge that came up for them was when they had to go in exile. King Herod was going to kill all small babies, so they went in exile to Egypt. Again, they had to leave family and friends and those they loved, the comfortability of their life. But they said, "Let it be done according to your will." And they pondered it in their hearts. And again, at the foot of the cross was Mary. And as she was trying to make sense of this, of how they could crucify our Lord, she pondered it in her heart. And that's what we're all called to do as families, to ponder these things in our heart. Because when we ponder in our heart, we draw our prayer to our Lord, and in return, he gives us his peace. And even this event in today's gospel from St. Luke, she said she pondered this in her heart. She pondered a lot in her heart. And the Holy Family's asking us to do the same. When we have challenges in our own families, where we have relationships that need forgiveness, we're called to ponder them in our heart and to love and to be at peace, because that's what the Lord desires for each of us, to be at peace and experience his peace. The Holy Family is our inspiration and our model for how we are to live our lives. And the Lord knows that life and family life is difficult today. But he wants us to be united as they were united in their prayer and in their life, giving everything up to the Lord. I often am invited out to people's homes for dinner. And whenever I go to a family's house and all their children are still Catholic and practicing the faith, I'll ask them, "Why do you think that's so, that all your children still are Catholic and practice their faith?" And you know what the one thing they all say? "We prayed together. We as a family prayed together. We prayed before meals, we prayed before bedtime." And a lot of them would even say they prayed a rosary once a week and some of them every day. And I thought, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? My challenge for all of us, especially those with children in the home, is to pray one decade of the rosary after dinner. One decade, I'm not even saying the whole rosary, one decade. And let each child take a turn leading it. Because you know when they have to lead it, they're going to know the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, and the Creed. You know, isn't that beautiful? When I have a little kid come up to me, and they might be 4 or 5, and they know those prayers, I'm just in awe. I'm just in awe. And it sometimes brings me to tears, because you know I'm too soft. But I am in awe. And I shouldn't be in awe. Isn't that sad that I'm in awe that they know those prayers when we should all know those prayers? I shouldn't be in awe. So my message today is be like the Holy Family. Love as a Holy Family, forgive as a Holy Family, and allow the peace of the Holy Family to dwell in your house. And be a house of prayer, because your kids won't forget that. Even if they move miles away, even if they lose their faith, they will still always remember the traditions and the prayer you had in your house. They'll never forget that, even if they turn from the Catholic faith. So be a house of prayer and look to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as that example to ponder things in your heart.